Is that right, Rod? Bit of motorbike riding? Cool. Alrighty. Okay. My Bible's falling apart, but they say that means you won't. If your Bible's falling apart, you probably won't. So that's alrighty. Good to worship the Lord together. And well, that's great, Phil. That's really wonderful to hear of their generosity and what God's doing in and through the life of Parkey Church. And it's great to be with you. Kicking into term four. Can you believe it? This week, they're nearly the end of 2020. Who's ready to say goodbye to 2020? Hey, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the word in this series on prayer that we're in. If you're visiting here today, first time here, just want to say a special welcome. It's great to have you. Parkerville is a very warm and welcoming and friendly church. I really hope you can hang around after and meet some people and have a cup of tea and coffee and get to know us. We'd love to get to know you. And if you're a local here, if Parkey is your home church, if you see someone maybe you don't recognise, why don't you reach out and not touch them, obviously, but reach out with your elbow and just say, hey, it's great to see you. Don't say my name's Brad, because that's what I say. You say your name and how are you going, and that'll be great. So, Father, we come to you this morning and we're so thankful that we can gather as a family. You gave us your family. We thank you that we don't just gather, Lord, as some sort of routine or organisation, but we gather as the mighty people of God. And Lord, as we open up your word, we're not expecting anything from me or from man, but we're actually expecting and leaning in to hear what you would say to us. We thank you, Lord, that when you speak, your word does not return void. We thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that we don't walk by faith, we walk by faith, and our faith is in what you say to us, not what we hear anywhere else. So, Lord, would you help us now with all the things we've heard that have gone into our ears this week from news, from media? Lord, we just want to push that aside and say, no, give me your word, Lord. What do you want to say about my life and my situation this morning? And we believe it by faith and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about prayer, and I heard a story about an atheist, someone that just doesn't believe in God, and he's in the existence of God, and he's out in creation, and he's walking around just admiring the beautiful trees and the mountains, and just thinking, oh, isn't this a beautiful place? And he turns around, and he gets a bit of a fright as he sees a big grizzly bear, and he suddenly doesn't really admire the grizzly bear anymore. In fact, he just gets running, and he's just running because this bear is starting to go after him. And the bear goes after him, and he trips over, and he turns around and looks up, and the bear's right there ready to get him. And he just thinks, you know what? In a split second, he thought, I've never believed in God, but this could be the moment that I try a prayer. I'm going to try a prayer. And he reaches out with a prayer, and he goes, God, if you're real, turn this bear into a Christian. And then suddenly it's like time stopped, and the bear just froze dead still, and the bear just put his hands together like this and said, for what I am about to receive, may the Lord make me truly thankful. True story, maybe, maybe not. Prayer is an interesting thing, and we're in this series about prayer, and we all, you know, I want to talk this morning from the topic of praying under pressure. And often when we prepare a sermon series in the office with Craig and the team, we'll sit down and we'll look at different areas that we want to explore. And one of the areas that we haven't really hit on yet was praying in times of trouble, praying in hardship, praying when the pressure's on. You know, if you squeeze an orange, you will get orange juice. If you squeeze a Christian, you should get some faith-filled prayer. You should get to, if you were here last week, I hope you've, who's been praying the Word of God this week? Last week we looked at the power of praying God's Word. And when we are squeezed and under pressure, there's nothing more powerful that could come from our tongue than to speak God's Word about our life, about our situation. And so we need to know how to pray under pressure, because the fact of the matter is we will all face pressures. You know, Jesus put it this way. He made a promise to us. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we just, that's just true, because being a Christian doesn't disqualify you from adversity. Being a Christian just qualifies you for victory in every adversity. And we need to sort of move over to the other side of that verse, that in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus overcome the world, and now he's in me and I'm in him, and I have access to the Father through him. So my prayer life is part of overcoming in times of pressure. How will I pray? How do I pray? Prayer can be hard to know when all hell is breaking loose in your life It can feel, don't you think, like your prayers are just words. You know that saying, they're just hitting the ceiling. And we go through times like that because often the problem and the pressure we're in feels greater and more overwhelming than the power of our prayer life. And that's okay. That's okay to feel like that in our human nature. That's how we'll feel. Is this prayer even working? Does prayer really make a difference? Because sometimes we're praying to change a situation. And in the prayer of trying to pray to change a problem or a situation, sometimes God just answers back and changes your perspective. And that's just the miracle you needed, because prayer won't always change what's in front of you, but it will change what's inside of you. And I want to speak this morning about that. When you're under pressure, how do we pray? Prayer is never our last defense. It is our first priority. And we can be tempted to run to so many other things, but prayer should be the first thing when the pressure is on that comes out of our mouth. Let's look at what Paul said about being under pressure in 2 Corinthians. I've got a few different verses. We're actually going to be landing in Acts chapter 16 with Paul and Silas under the prison pressure that they are on. But let me read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Who likes the Bible? Good, you're checking I'm in the right place. It goes like this. We do not want you to be uninformed. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to be informed about this, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great, someone say it, pressure. Oh, I thought you became a Christian, Paul. I thought everything was just now great. I thought you just, you know, the devil will just get out of your way and just walk into the promises of God. No, I was under great pressure living for Jesus. Pressure came upon my life. It says this, far beyond, you got to catch this, our ability to endure. What is the first R of one of the goals of our church, one of our visions? The first R, can anyone yell it out? This is a test. And we're failing it. Reliance, thank you for whoever said that. Relying on God. Notice what he said, what we were under was far beyond our ability. So in the Christian life, in life, don't be surprised if you get thrown something that you do not have the ability to cope with. Oh, really? This is a great message this morning. Thanks, Brad. I'm going to be throwing something I don't have. Yeah, that's exactly right. But praise God, you don't need to rely on your ability, because your prayer life is where you access another higher ability of the Most High. He says, you know, we couldn't endure this, so that we despaired even of life. Wow, this is the pressure he was facing. Verse 9, indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. Catch this. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Verse 10, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Last line, on him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Just that last line, on him we have set our hope. On him, not on a solution or the outcome that I really desire, even though that's okay to have the desires, to be praying a specific desire, to be praying in line with the word of God, but it's on him that we have set our hope. And for me, I know when it's under pressure in my life, it's prayer that helps me to set my hope. What is hope? The confident expectation of good, the confident expectation that God is going to come through as he says he would and be faithful to his word. I have set my hope. Prayer can set your hope. When Blaze, our son, was diagnosed with leukemia, with cancer, one of the first things that we did was, before going in for chemo, was reached out and went to a prayer meeting, a healing prayer meeting with a staff of a church in Perth that opened up to us and said, yeah, bring him along and we'll anoint him with oil and we'll pray over him. And so there was all this staff around and we were just praying and kneeling before God. And in that moment of just setting the course for the journey of going through cancer that was ahead for him, it was a powerful thing that prayer set our hope. As his dad, I came out of that prayer meeting with a hope set on what I believed God was going to do, what I believed God had revealed in my spirit, in my heart. And so out of that, my hope was set. And it was just something powerful about drawing a line in the sand and remembering, hey, no, I set my hope. When more pressure comes, I set my hope, was set back there when I met with God, when I prayed with God. And one of the older ladies in that prayer meeting came up to me and gave me a bit of paper, and she had written on it as she was praying for Blaze this little prophecy over him, this what she believed to declare. And I would hold that in my wallet, and I'd pull that little bit of paper out when the pressure come back on and when doubt come into my mind, and I'd say, this is the word that I'm holding on to. This came to me when I set my hope in prayer, and that's the power of setting our hope. And that's what Paul's saying here. You know, we've set our hope on God, and we can do that through our prayer life. So let's move over to Acts 16 and look at Paul and Silas when they were in the pressure called prison for doing the will of God. And it says this in verse 22 of Acts 16. I'm not sure if I had this on the screen. I apologize. Oh, no, I think I do. You've got it there. All good. Let's start at verse 22. So Paul and Silas are doing the will of God. They've set a slave girl free. They've delivered her from demons. God is moving on their life. Isn't it good when you see God moving in your midst, that you just sense his presence with you? But often where God is moving, the enemy's making a move too. And he wants to come and steal, kill and destroy. And he doesn't want to see you keep moving in the flow of what the Spirit's doing. He wants to, you know, to not quench the Spirit, to not cut off. He wants to see us cut off the flow of what God would do. And it says this in verse 22, if they're going really well, it says that they were, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. They got into trouble and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. They didn't like what was going on as they're proclaiming Jesus. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. I mean, you read them words quite quickly and you think, oh yeah, just another bad day of getting thrown in prison for Jesus. But man, this would have been, you know, I've just been flogged, I've just been beaten. I'm now not just in prison, but I'm in the inner cell. I'm bound up, I'm in chains, I'm probably surrounded by urine and all sorts of things in the dungeon area. I'm just in a real horrible pressure situation, and I've just been living for Jesus. And it says this in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, because of course, that's what you do, don't you? When you're in prison, you'd start to throw a praise party and start to pray. Well, often we don't, let's be honest. But there's a great lesson in this. And I've preached this verse a few times, and I'm not preaching it the same way today. Often what I've said is, if you just praise God in your prison, he will send an earthquake that will shake the foundations and set you free. And I love preaching it that way. But today, I actually think Paul and Silas, their response to their pressure wasn't to get out of jail. It just doesn't read like that. Their response was, okay, what was that sermon we heard, that where I've got to do A, B, and C? If I pray and praise, God will rock up. No, they were just so in love with Jesus. They were just so passionate about their relationship with God, that even in the stinking prison, even in the situation that life had thrown at them that was so horrible, their response was just, yes, let's just pray. Let's just praise God. At about midnight, it's midnight, and this is things, what's going on in your life at the moment, can I ask you? What's happening in an area of your life that may be dark and it's like midnight and it's like all hell is breaking loose and it's an area that seems like you've got no control over and it feels like it's just not good? And maybe you're reacting to the situation rather than responding to the presence of God in your life. That's what I try to learn, and I'm on this journey massively. How do I respond to God's presence in my life? Just to love him. Just to be passionate about him, just to pray. They're just responding to their relationship with God. And it says that suddenly the other prisoners were listening as they're singing hymns and praying to God in this pressure as they're squeezed. And verse 26, suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains come loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And he thought, well, I'm going to get killed for this, so I might as well get the job done. But verse 28, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights. Turn on the lights. Rush in. And then he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You notice that he didn't say, what must I do to get an earthquake for my pressure situation? how do I get out of jail like this? He said, you guys have Jesus. And I've just seen what he does in your life, even in the worst of the worst. Come on, let that be said about you. Come on, in the worst of the worst, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you haven't feared evil because he is with you. And people are listening, prisoners are watching and saying, how are you going to go through your pressure situation? Because the other prisoners are listening. And he said, what must I do to be saved? I want that relationship you have. And then he said to him, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. On that night, they continued to speak the gospel to them and baptize them, and they followed Jesus. What an awesome thing. And I just want to give you a few thoughts about praying under pressure. And number one is, where do we put our prayer focus? Number one is we should look up. When we're under pressure, the first place our eyes should go is to look up. You know, when you get a magnifying glass, the object doesn't actually get any bigger, does it? But when I look through the magnifying lens, it gets bigger to me. And you know, God is not going to get any bigger in your life and your situation right now. He's done everything he needs to do. He's been to the cross. He's risen from the dead. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his word. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. But our view of that may need to be magnified. And when you're under pressure, the first thing that Paul and Silas did, they just looked up. They didn't look around them. They didn't look at the situation. They looked up. And it's a powerful thing when we can do that. So often we look to self-help. We look to what we can do. We look to control. We look to manipulation. We look to man-made efforts. And God says, would you look up? Maybe today, can I ask you, where are you looking in your pressure situation, in your troubled times? Where do you look to? You may be tempted to look other places, but prayer will help you to look up and just say, Lord, I'm looking up to you. I remember when Blaze was going into the Royal Flying Doctors, and we didn't know what was before us. They're out in Meriden there, and they're putting him in the Royal Flying Doctors to go down to Perth to get, I just was told, a blood transfusion. I didn't know it turned into a cancer journey. And as he's going into the Royal Flying Doctors, I race from the shearing shed to get there in time, realizing that this is obviously more serious than I thought. And I get to the hospital and I run in and he's about to go out, and I just grab him and I say, mate, he's sick at the time. I said, I'm just going to pray for you now. And he looked at me and he put his hands on his head and he said, I've already done that, Dad. like a real televangelist, you know, I've already done that. It's like he knocked himself over or something. And I've already done it. And it was his first resort, and I just love that. I love that thought that is the first place we go. We go to God first in everything. Yes, we praise God for doctors. We praise God for medicine. We praise God for everything that we have in this day and age, don't we? We love that. How blessed are we? But never forget, he is the first priority. He is the number one. We use everything else, but we go to God, and he is our source. And that's why we've got to give glory to him for every good thing that happens in our life. It's not what I did or someone else did. It was the presence of God. Amen. And you look up and put your focus above on that. James 1 verse 2 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Verse 3 of James chapter 1, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So when you go into the pressure situation, expect to come out of it, if you're going to trust God with it, with some extra perseverance. Extra perseverance. I think if as believers, we can look back and go, you know what, I can endure greater things now because God was with me in that time and I trusted him then. Now I feel like I'm in something even greater, but I'm going to choose to trust him again, and my perseverance is growing. It says perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. Not lacking anything. It's like if you could just look up, you will see that your trial could actually be the transformation of your Christian walk. That what you're going through could actually not just be a setback on your life, but God's going to use it as a setup so that you're not lacking anything. There's some good news right there. Joseph knew what this was like. Joseph, he had a dream from God in the Old Testament. And the first thing when he got this dream from God, he's thrown into the pit of rejection, rejected by his brothers. And sometimes you'll start out for God well, and suddenly someone rejects you and you realize you fear man more than God. Been there? and suddenly people's opinion of you matters more, and suddenly you're in this pit of rejection and pleasing people, and suddenly your life and ministry or whatever has come about by not even pleasing God anymore. And you're in this, he was in this pit of rejection. He did nothing wrong. He had this dream. And it's like a setback. And then he gets sold into slavery. Another setback. Then he goes to Potiphar's house and he gets misunderstood and lied about. And he runs out of there. And another setback. Then he gets put in prison. Gee whiz, how many setbacks do you need? But every time, I just think Joseph, every time there was a setback, eventually he got to the palace and he made this statement in Genesis 50. He said to his brothers that started this whole thing, said, what you meant for evil against me, God meant for good. He was able to testify and say, you know what? Even under the pressure that I went through, I was looking up and I'm still looking up. And every setback just was another setup for where God would take me. And so often we just, you know, we don't see it from that perspective. See, the Bible says in Ephesians, catch this, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, we should have a view that is different from earthly places. How we see our pressure and our problems is seated from heavenly. We see it from God's perspective. We see it from eternal perspective, and therefore we're looking up and we're trusting God. This morning I want to encourage you with the old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I like that, strangely dim. What does that mean? It means, man, the things of earth, the big problems that you thought you had to go through, the big things, they're just going to get dim as God gets so much bigger. See, David did that against Goliath when he went up against him and he said, you know what? You're an uncircumcised Philistine. That wasn't just like some sort of sledging of the day. You uncircumcised. He was saying, you don't have a covenant with Almighty God like I do. And I'm not looking at the size of you, Goliath. I'm looking at the size of my covenant with God. And you know what? If you're my enemy, you're God's enemy. Because I have a covenant with God. And he said, my enemies will be his enemies. And he's with me right now. See, that's what happens when we look up. We get a perspective that changes this, not necessarily the problem in front of you. The problem may not leave, but man, your perspective will zoom over it. Does that make sense? Second thing we need to do is to look in. Paul and Silas, as they're praying and singing hymns to God, you can tell that they know who they are in Christ. When you go through problems and pressures, it really reveals, well, this is the best way to say it, adversity introduces you to yourself. I know, and I don't like what I see quite often when I'm introduced to adversity in my life. I'm like, that's me. Gee, I've got some things God's working on. Aren't you glad we're just in process? That aren't you glad you're not called to perfection, but God's working on me and he's working on you, yeah? I mean, we might be, you know, I'm so glad for that. And when we go through adversity, we often see things in ourselves. But when we look in, it really does help us reveal who we are. And as they're praying, you know, I've just lost my spot. There we are. I had to turn the page. When we look in, we can realize that we have been deposited everything we need for this situation. So what I mean by that is in Ephesians, again, it talks about we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have been blessed with everything we need. We already have it. It's a bit like this. You ready? Here's my little example, which I saw a preacher do years ago. Alan, you don't have to move. I'm not going to embarrass you. Alan, would you like my Bible? Yeah, you would. So Alan has asked me for my Bible, so I'm giving him my Bible. Now imagine if Alan is then to say to me, Brad, can I have your Bible? Can I have your Bible? Imagine every morning he comes back to me and says, Brad, can I have your Bible? What would I say back? I'd say, Alan, I already gave it to you, mate. You know, you wouldn't do that, would you? Thanks, Alan. You were really good. And sometimes we're like that with God. We're praying for things and God's like, I've already given that to you. This is why we have to be, don't we? People of the Word of God, because so we know what He has given us in Christ. So we know what we have. So Paul and Silas knew that they had the Spirit of God in them. They knew their eternal destiny was not prison, but heaven. They knew the truth of God's power in their life. They had an understanding of what had been given to them, so they didn't need to pray, oh Lord, would you help me? They could still pray that, but they just started to praise God. Because they've already got what they need. And I think that if we can see it through that way, because so often, here's the deal, so often we focus on what we don't have. And when we focus on what we don't have, we often miss looking at what we do have. And so right now you might be in a situation and you're, if I had. And that's not what God would say to you, I don't believe, this morning. I think he'd say, no, look at what you do have. And if you're here this morning and you've got Jesus, you have got enough. You have got all resources of heaven behind you. And you have got all that you need. 1 Corinthians 6:19 puts it this way. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Look in. Look in, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. Look in you. It's not in you in your humanity. It's not in your trying heart. It's not in your flesh. It's in what God has deposited in you. It says, for you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. Believing our identity above our adversity. Who you are in Christ always beats what you are going through. It may be really bad, but it's not bad enough for God. It's not bigger than God. And you might be sitting there going, Brad, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the horrible things. And I don't, but God does. But his word is still faithful. His word is still true. And it's true for you. It's true for me. Amen? Amen. And lastly, look at this one. And I think this is a powerful one that will really help us apply this. A bit of an application one. The last point as I finish off is look out. We look up in prayer. We look in prayer. And that can help us to pray. And the Holy Spirit can even help us pray. He can even lead us in prayer. Jude talks about praying in the Holy Spirit. And leaning on the Spirit to lead us in prayer, to guide us in prayer, praying with groans that cannot be expressed in words. I've been there, if you've ever done that, just praying in groans. You can't even put it into words, but you're just praying. The Holy Spirit's helping lead you pray. That's in. And then, but look out. In the pressure and the pain that you go through, you don't want to miss God's purpose. So the prayer to pray is, Lord, show me. What you want me to see? What do you want me to see about my situation, about myself? What do you want me to see? Help me look out. It says in our text, and I won't read it all, but it says that the other prisoners were listening. It says that the jailer got saved. It said his family got saved and they got baptized because Paul and Silas, once they got their breakthrough, it wasn't all about them. Once the prison doors went open, they didn't just run off and say, all right, let's go to the next revival meeting. Let's go to the next thing. No, they were looking out. And there was a jailer there that was suicidal. And they saw this guy that was going to take his life and their heart beated with the heartbeat of Jesus for him and the love of God. And they led him to the Lord because they were looking out. You know what they could have been like? They could have been, man, that was horrible. We just got out of a horrible situation. Let's get out of here. These guys, they beat us. They didn't treat us very well. I think we've got the right to get out. But that's the heart of God is, wherever you are, I want to use you. Look out. Look for opportunities. They were like, we're all about the gospel. We're all about Jesus. And we're going to use what we've been through. Because God uses everything. For all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. All things. And this is just another thing. And they're looking out and they lead them to the Lord. I love that. I remember in our first round of chemo when we're in there and I was Blaze had started to lose all his hair and he's got all the tubes in and I was like, man, this is full on. And I remember this nurse came in and we got to know her a little bit and she's changing up all Blaze's different bloods and things. And she just mentioned how when she would lean over to do a certain thing, how it just really pained her back and it really gave her back grief. And so she actually had to have more days off so that she could come back and work a shift. And we're sitting there and, you know, we're going through the cancer treatment, and I said to her, oh, look, could we pray for your back for healing, that God would heal your back so that you can work and have productivity, and because we'd love to pray for you. And she just looked very weirdly at me, and like you could hear a pin drop, and you could just see in her eyes, I could almost read the words. It was like, I'm looking after you. Yous are the sick ones. You want to pray for me. Why? Because let's look out in our situation. And so Blaze is sitting in the bed. I'm on one side. She's on the other. And he's looking over and closing his eyes. All right. And then we just prayed over her back. And I just said, I just believe that you're going to be able to work your shifts and God's going to heal you back. And she started to tear up and just wandered out. And I don't say that to say I'm good. I missed so many opportunities. That was just one time I actually was looking out. But let's have eyes to see out. Even in our pain, where can we look out and focus on others? You know, you would have heard this said before. If you're ever having a down time and struggling with joy yourself, to walk through the hospital and look at what other people are going through. You've probably heard that. And after doing that for a year, walking through children's oncology, it does really start to impact you. And, you know, I never complain about shearing big, ugly, wrinkly weathers now when I go shearing. I don't. I was with a guy the other day and he was like hitting this sheep and he was getting angry and I'm not going to make enough money. And I just thought to myself, man, I've been there. I've done that. But man, you could be in hospital right now, plugged up to things. Like you don't know how good it is to be out here, to have your right mind, to have your health, to have your body, to be working, to be earning money, life is good when you start to appreciate it and look out and thank God for not what you don't have, but everything you do have. Amen? And I think if we can look out in our prayers and say, Lord, help me when I pray under pressure, not just to get self-focused, self-indulged, all about me, and have my pity party, help me to look out and see what's going on around me. And then we discover that's makes you come alive. It makes you come alive. Last night I had the privilege of preaching at Shalom House. You know, the boys that often come here, and it was their family service. And so it was just a packed thing. And I actually said to God on the way there, I preached a sermon that, I mean, you guys would have heard all the jokes I said. You would have heard all my illustrations. You would have been able to probably preach the sermon for me. You would have known the words. And I said to the Lord during the week, I said, I don't want to just preach a sermon tonight. I really am praying, Lord, that I will get out of your way and that you would just facilitate something, just move Holy Spirit. And you know what they're like at that place when they worship, you know, when all their men, and they've got all their families there, and they had a guy graduate, so they're sharing his story of his graduation, and we're all just wiping tears away of the transformation. So when you get up there, and there was just the presence of God in worship, and just let it go. And I just felt God's Spirit moving. But I felt I had to look out, because it's not about me. It's not about you. We are vessels for God to move through. And it's not just behind a pulpit with a microphone. It's when you're walking through Woolies. It's when you're going to get your shopping. It's when you're on your way to work. And we saw about two people and a few kids, a couple of kids give their life to Jesus, come forward for the first time. And the reason it happened, I believe, is because God moved. But because I decided to say, Lord, don't limit what you want to do tonight by my expectations. Because I can preach this sermon with my eyes closed, but I actually discovered as I let go, I started to say things I didn't even plan to say. You know, just stuff come out and God was moving and it was great. And then there was recommitments after and things like that. And I tell you that story to say, let's look out even at church. Let's not just expect every week it's another Sunday in church and we do some songs and we hear a word. Why don't we actually start to say, Lord, how can you move through me? When I'm having a cup of tea and somebody mentions something to me, do you want me to pray for that person? Because we are called to be a part of not a monument of God, but a move of God. God is moving. The question is, are we moving with him? And when we look out, we don't look at ourselves, we don't worry about us, don't worry about, you know, people pleasing, but just God, what is it you want to do? So this morning even, let's do that now. Let's say, Lord, what do you want to do? Holy Spirit, help me to pray. I'm praying for every person here this morning that God would help you. Teach us to pray, Lord, when we're under pressure. Teach us to look up because that changes our perspective. Teach us to look in because that's where the power is, the Holy Spirit. And teach us to look out because that's where our purpose is, the world around us, the world around us. Would you close your eyes with me? And why don't we just have a moment before the Lord? Holy Spirit, would you do that this morning? Would you come, and you're already here, we don't need to ask you to come. Would you just speak into our hearts that still, small voice? Lord, for people here this morning that have heard something from you that hasn't come from me, that there's been something, maybe not even what I've said, but the Holy Spirit is just speaking to your heart. Lord, help us to pray in line with your Spirit, in line with your word. while we're in this attitude of prayer, we're just submitting before the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you've never given your life to Jesus. Here's an opportunity now just to say, Lord, I'm not even following Jesus. It just doesn't make sense to you, but now it is. It just never has before. But this morning you're realizing that there is a God who loves you. His name is Jesus. And you want to get your life right with him. You want to be forgiven of your sin. You want to trust in what he did on the cross for your life, personally. If that's you this morning, why don't you just come down the front and I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, anyone here, while we're in an attitude of prayer, that would just like to say, yes, Jesus, I've never given my life to the Lord. This is the first time. I've never done that. Would you just come down and I'd love to shake your hand and pray for you? The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And if there's salvation in this house right now for those who want to receive it. If you've never done that, just give you that opportunity. Cool. I'm going to pray, Lord. I just pray, if you're bold enough and courageous enough in response to this message this morning and you want to pray these words, why don't you pray them after me? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for the pressures that I receive, because you're using them to make me more like you. Teach me to pray under pressure, to look up, to look in, and to look out, that my life would always give glory to you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we do just commit this to you. I thank you for every person here, Lord. I pray for this week ahead, Lord, as we would keep our eyes on you, that we know where our help comes from, Lord. It's not from the hills. It's from the maker of heaven and earth. You are our protector, our keeper, our guide, and the strength of our life. We look to you, Jesus, and we just thank you that we can do that. Pray a blessing over every life and every family here. And Lord, as we go into a bit more worship and morning tea, would you continue to move, Holy Spirit, and lead us. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.